It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Manesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a
Colbert.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome in, everybody. Monday edition of the show underway. Hope you had an outstanding weekend, and Monday is doing right by you. We are continuing the football vibes on the show this week. Last week, camp preview week with the four Metro High School football coaches. And we're back in camp this week and moving forward outside the Metro. Details in just a few short moments, but look forward to that. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thank you so very much for being here. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. And like the Facebook page. Just type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find it. Hammer the like button. You'll be all set and ready to go. And check out that website, bookmark it, 1650thefan.com. It's where you get the podcast of this show. Not only the stream, but the podcast of this show. A lot of audio on demand, including the aforementioned four Metro High School football coaches. All four of those interviews up on the website in case you missed it. So if you weren't able to tune in live, you can get set for this upcoming 2022 season of Metro High School football as Cedar Falls' Brad Rimmer, Waterloo Columbus' Brad Schmidt, Waterloo East first-year coach DeCarlos Anderson, and Waterloo West coach Lonnie Moore all joined the show last week. And as usual, they were all great to talk to, and it sure does look like it's going to be one entertaining season of Metro High School football. But we're stepping outside the Metro now. Between now and what would be week one, which would be 2 weeks from this Friday, as I look across the Shirley Street studio at intern David Warrington, who's alongside today. Last week of the internship, David Warrington, do you feel like you're going to pass?
Yes, I think I will.
I don't know. You seem to be pretty confident about that. We'll see. We'll see how the week goes, how much Cardinals nonsense you continue to inject into my day-to-day. And is it pass-fail, or do you get a letter grade on that?
I'm pretty sure it's a letter grade.
That's not good for you. That's not good for you. No, I'm just kidding. You've been great. It's been great to have you around. And you've seen, I think you've experienced a bit of the gamut, you know, being able to call games and do something I know you're very passionate about and very good at, while at the same time, the not-so-glamorous things that come with running a radio station or being a part of the team of a sports radio station. So I think it's an important part of the experience to get the glamorous and the non-glamorous things both under your belt. And you've been great at all of it. I mean, besides the fact that you're a Cardinals fan, I think you got a pretty bright future ahead of you. But when it comes to high school football, you're going to be right back at it calling Central City games, correct?
Absolutely. 26th. Can't wait.
And they are going to scrimmage against one of the teams that we are going to have their head coach on later today, that being the Don Bosco Dons. Now, Central City, from what I understand, not necessarily an eight-player powerhouse, they that's an ambitious scrimmage to put together. They must want to get really ready for this upcoming season.
Yeah, they certainly have high expectations after last year. A bunch of sophomores led them to a few wins. So
okay.
Yeah, Coach Myers is going to throw them out there on the scrimmage.
A little gut check scrimmage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's call it that. But how crazy. 2 weeks from this Friday, the start of the high school football season. And there are some games on the 25th on that Thursday that will happen as well. So did you mention, is that Central City? They're going to play on a Thursday to start?
Had you told me that? They're playing on the 26th. I do know that Lone Tree, who Central City plays week one, is actually playing week zero. So that would be, I think, the 19th.
Oh, no kidding.
There will be just a handful of eight-player games.
Handful of week zero games. And then the week one of the high school football season is week zero for college football.
Yep.
Which is going to bring us the treat that is Nebraska against Illinois in Dublin, if I'm not mistaken. Which is apropos coming off of our presence at Irish Fest this past weekend. No, I did not see Brett Bielema or Scott Frost at Lincoln Park in downtown Waterloo. Did you see Coach Frost or Coach Bielema?
No, I did not.
I think Coach Frost probably got a couple other things keeping him busy right now, kind of like keeping his job.
Yeah.
There is not a seat hotter in college football than Scott Frost. Maybe Herm Edwards, who was the answer to a on-the-spot pop quiz for you. I think last week on the show, but we are continuing the high school football season previews today on the show. After David brings us today's area sports news and scores, which includes 13, I want to say, area players named to the Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association All-State teams. So, you know, that's been on the website. There's just a great example there. A lot of local statewide sports content finds its way onto the website in the morning, and then we bring it to you to start the show in case you're not doing that. But just to put that out there, if you don't want to wait for the content, there are other ways to get access to it earlier rather than, you know, waiting until 5 o'clock. So we do everything we can to bring everything to you in a multitude of ways. But David will have that and more coming up here in just a few short moments. Make sure that you dial me up if you got any questions or comments. 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. Email address, fire away. Questions, comments, maybe there's something or someone you'd like to hear on a future show. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. After this first segment here, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, a VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this beautiful Monday. Looking into tomorrow and Wednesday, it looks like great weather all week long. Hopefully you're able to get out and enjoy it, as really we're at the time here. Summer's coming to a close. School's going to be starting soon. So go enjoy what you can while you can, especially while we've got this great weather here. We'll come back after that first timeout, and Gladbrook-Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson will join the show. The Rebels coming off a 7-1 2021 season with a first-round playoff loss to a really good GTRA team. And so Coach Olson and his Rebels, albeit having lost a really good group of seniors, are looking to pick up right where they left off and do what they have to go from a really good eight-player program to a great eight-player program. And talking with Coach Olson over the years, I have no doubt that that is where that team is headed. It's just a matter of time. And it's eight-player flavor today, because after we're done talking with Coach Olson, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports, come back on the other side of that break, and Don Bosco, high school football coach Kobe Yoder, will join the show roughly around 5:35. And I suppose, David, is it even fair to say it was a down year when you go 6-2? But that's Don Bosco.
That's the thing about the Dons. When you're going to the Dome every year, losing a couple games is like a big deal.
It doesn't feel fair to say that.
Right.
Now, albeit I'm sure there's folks, you know, Don Bosco fans or people involved with the program say, yeah, it was a down year. But, I mean, they were still really good. It just seems like eight-player football, it's grown. And I wonder if maybe at first when it came to be, that some kids were just turned off by the idea and go, I'll focus on basketball instead. I'll focus on baseball. And then there's kind of been this pushback against specialization in sports. I think perhaps over the years that maybe eight players earned some. It's become more compelling. It's become something that, you know, I think these young guys would have to see that there's been eight player student athletes that have gone on to have high level college football careers.
Absolutely.
So it's not like it's necessarily an obstacle from preventing your future goals, whatever they might be. So I think as a result of all that, what you're seeing now is there's more room at the top, if you will. Whereas before, 10 years ago, you know, there were the elite teams and there was kind of the everybody else. And it's not as linear, or it's less linear in eight player now with how just it's grown as a class. So look forward to Kobe Yoder, Don Bosco football coach, in the third segment today. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then come back for a final time wrap-up Monday edition of the show. David, take it away. Area sports news and scores for a Monday, August 8th.
The Iowa High School Baseball Coaches Association has released its 2022 All-State teams, and several area athletes were selected. Cedar Falls' Ben Phillips was named to the 4A second team, and 3A a pair of Independence players were chosen. Marcus Beatty made the first team, while Keegan Schmidt was on the second team. Waverly Shellrock's Chance Key was selected to the third team. In 2A, Carter Gallagher of Waterloo Columbus was named to the first team. Dyke New Hartford's Gus Varney's on the second team. On the third team are Grundy Center's Dane Zankula and Jessup's Jack Miller. And in Class 1A, on the second team is Janesville's Jared Hudger and Gladbrook Rhinebeck's Nick Schurter. And on the third team are Landon Frost of Don Bosco, Wapsie Valley's Jacob Schuer, and Colbin Miller of North Butler. Cedar Falls' Owen Sawyer has committed to the Iowa State golf team. He made the announcement via Twitter. Owens finished third individually at state as the Tigers won the 4A state golf tournament last October. Owens is a two-time 4A first team selection, and last year he won the Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet. The 2022-23 high school sports season begins today. Today is the first day of practice for football, volleyball, cross country, and fall golf. The first competition for fall golf will be this Thursday, and cross-country competition will begin on Friday. The first volleyball matches will be on August 22nd, and the first football games will take place on August 25th. The Iowa basketball team secured a verbal commitment from a recruit with a familiar last name on Saturday. Class of 2023 Waukee Northwest forward Price Sanford, the younger brother of Hawkeye sophomore Peyton Sanford, announced his pledge to the Hawkeyes. Price Sanford, a 6'7", 190-pound wing, was ranked by both Rivals and 24/7 Sports as a top 135 recruit nationally and the second-best in-state prospect. Last year, he averaged 26.6 points, 10 rebounds, 2.9 blocks, and 2.8 assists per game as a junior, shooting 52% from the field, 40% from three-point range, and 89% from the free-throw line. The UNI football team cracked the top 25 in the Stats Performs preseason poll. The Panthers are ranked 21st. The Missouri Valley Football Conference has five programs represented, with North Dakota State taking the top spot. The other Valley schools ranked are South Dakota State at 2, Missouri State ranked 5th, and Southern Illinois ranked 9th. UNI opens on the road with Air Force on September 3rd. The USA Today's preseason coaches college football rankings have been released. Alabama is number 1, with Ohio State 2nd, and defending national champion Georgia 3rd. Iowa just missed entering the poll, receiving enough votes where they would have taken 26th place. Iowa State did receive 3 votes. The UNI women's soccer team played to a scoreless tie against Iowa State Saturday in an exhibition match in Ames. Iowa State held a 7-5 shot advantage. The Panthers will play their final exhibition game before the regular season this Sunday at Concordia University in St. Paul, Minnesota. And last but not least, the Waterloo Bucks lost at St. Cloud 10-6 yesterday in Northwood League play. The Rocks used a 6-run third inning to carry them to the win. Waterloo drops to just 6-22 in the second half of the season. The Bucks will finish up their regular season this week with a 6-game homestand. Waterloo will host St. Cloud tonight.
Good stuff, David. Let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update and Forecast. During the break, when we come back to camp. Eight-player football previews. We're outside the Metro. Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson joins us next on a Monday edition of Cole & Company, right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, Kevin Durant remains steadfast in his demand for a trade, reportedly reiterating his desire to move on from Brooklyn in a meeting with owner Joe Tsai over the weekend, according to The Athletic. Durant also made it known that he wasn't on board with the direction of the team and told Tsai he needs to choose between Durant and Nets GM Sean Marks and head coach Steve Nash. Justin Tucker has been a big part of the Ravens' success, and the five-time All-Pro gets a new four-year extension worth a total of $24 million, and over $17 million of that is guaranteed. Tucker is entering his 11th season all in Baltimore and the most accurate kicker ever at over 91% on field goals. The Yankees ran away with the first half, finishing with 64 wins. However, they have just six in the second half thus far, and five have come against the Orioles and the Royals. They continue a nine-game road trip tonight in Seattle after getting swept in St. Louis and have now lost a season high five in a row. The Mariners currently sitting in the third wild card spot, two games in front of idle Cleveland. From the hockey, Bruins captain Patrice Bergeron returning for a 19th season in Boston, coming to terms on a one-year deal, and also returning to the NHL with the Bruins is David Krejci. I'm Rich Ackerman. CBS Sports Radio.
Coverage of Cubs baseball begins at 6:30 on 1650 The Fan.
The first day of school in the Cedar Falls School District is August 23rd. To register your returning student, log in to your PowerSchool parent portal. The link for the online registration will be at the bottom left side of your screen. If you've forgotten your username or password or have not yet set up a parent account, please email powerhelp@cfschools.org for assistance. If you have more than one child, you'll need to complete the registration for all children in your household with the exception of PK, kindergarten, or new students to the district. After you have finished the registration process and submitted your information, there will be a link on the last page to the Tiger Web Store, which is the payment portal for school fees, lunches, and so on. If you have any questions or clarifications related to online registration, feel free to email powerhelp@cfschools.org or call 319-553-3004.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
I'm Roger from Metro Transmission and Auto Repair. We've been servicing cars and trucks for over 35 years, and our customers know us for low prices and quality work. From oil changes to brakes to transmission work, we'll get you back on the road with confidence, and we won't sell you a repair you don't really need. So if your car or truck is not running as it should be, bring it to Metro Transmission and Auto Repair on West 10th between Jefferson and 218 in Waterloo.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
NFL football, the Chiefs and Bears are going to open up their preseason runs against each other coming up this Saturday in Chicago at Soldier Field. Chicago is considered a 3.5-point favorite for Saturday's game. The over-under has been set at 35. Chicago Cubs baseball coming off a loss against the Marlins yesterday, 3-0. Back in action tonight as they play host to the Washington Nationals. The Cubs with Keegan Thompson on the mound, considered -190 favorites, over-under at 7.5 runs. Cardinals are off today. They play the Rockies coming up tomorrow.
For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear skies tonight with lows around 57. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly sunny skies and calm again tomorrow. Highs level off around 80. Clear skies and quiet tomorrow night. Lows level off around 59. Lots of sunshine outside Wednesday with daytime highs approaching 87. 78 Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 77.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole & Company, and we continue to preview the upcoming 2022 high school football season as we are back to camp. And today on the show, as I told you in the opening segment, we are featuring a couple of great Area 8 player teams, and right now, we are joined by Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson. Coach Olson, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Oh, everything's good. Thanks for having us on today.
Yeah, it's great to be talking Rebels football again. I mean, the summer just flies by. I know we say this every year about this time, but summer may as well be over, right? Because football season's here.
Well, I'm going to give you my first sales pitch of the day. Every day is awesome, right? Because summer's awesome, fall's awesome. I love teaching. School's great, and it's awesome to be a Rebel, that's for sure.
I like the outlook there. You guys are coming off of a 7-1 record last season and lost in the first round of the playoffs to a really good GTRA team. Coming off of that 7-1 record last year, John, what was the focus when you broke it down and, you know, looked in the mirror, looked back at the body of work that was with your staff and your players? What did you take away from that to apply to the offseason headed into this next season?
I think it's just the progression of our program and the progression of our coaching staff. 2 years ago, you know, we joked on air here a little bit that we just snapped the ball to the good kid and he ran for about 45 times a game. And
yeah.
Last year we threw the ball about 45 times a game. And towards the end of the season, we tried to find that mix. But at the same time, you have to coach to the ability of your players. And we've had some pretty solid players here. And I think this year, you know, we can run and pass the ball. And I think that's probably the way it's going to be continuing moving forward. So as a coaching staff, we just got to mix that together. And we knew that, you know, 2 years ago, and we knew that last year. Is just sometimes it's tough to accomplish those things. But as a coaching staff, we're progressing, and hopefully we can get our kids in the right spot.
And what would you say so far as, you know, having the ability here last week and now officially this week to get some camps, get practice officially started? It hasn't been long, but what have you seen so far, Coach Olson?
Well, I'm really excited. I feel like we got a lot of guys coming back. We lost a lot of seniors. We lost 10 seniors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy to think of an 8-man team, you lose 10 seniors, and I think 4, 5, 6 of them, I don't even know what it is, they all started. But we got a lot of guys coming back because we got 40 kids out for football at GR. And I think this year we have 10 seniors, a smaller class of 6 or 7 juniors. And then our freshmen and sophomores, we got 22 underclassmen. So we just got a lot of kids out football, so that makes our depth really good. That allows our juniors and seniors basically to play varsity. And if we do have to pull up a freshman or sophomore, that still means we got 18 freshmen and sophomores that can play a full JV schedule. So I think overall, the GR program, we're about depth and about trying to progress as a program and just make sure kids really love playing football.
That's great to hear about those numbers. And obviously, as you pointed out, that's going to be a real asset for you guys this season. When it comes to this team, you touched on, Coach, already about a little more balance this year in the offense, but when you think about all three phases of the game, offense, defense, special teams, what's the priority in this preseason camp? Now, I know, like anybody else who follows, that there's a large segment of preseason camp that's about the fundamentals, but as you draw closer to your season opener, more specifically, what do you got to get done with your team to have this team ready to play football?
I think offensively, we got to get our skills down in the sense where we have about 2 guys for sure that can play quarterback. We've got 5 guys that can play running back. We probably have 6 or 7 that can play receiver. But all those guys have to play. So if this guy starts quarterback, the backup quarterback's got to play somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to find out where those skills are in each one of our kids. Where do we put those skills on the field? You know, what makes, you know, our team the best, depending on where we put them? So that's what we got to do in offense. Defensively, you know, I'm a defensive-minded coach, and we're always going to hang our hat on defense. And I'm going to tell you, this year, it might be a little bit more struggle than in the past because we've always, always had big, huge, strong defensive linemen with linebackers that can run. And this year, we don't have huge defensive linemen. We're just a whole bunch of 160 and 180-pound guys running around. And we've got to make sure we're not only fundamentally sound, but at some point in time, you know, we might have to cause a little bit more havoc than what we're used to. We're usually, you know, sitting in a 4-2 defense when we played 11-man and a 3-2 defense when we played 8-man. And now we're going to have to mix things up a little bit just because we are smaller. Mm-hmm. So we got to make sure we're good at tackling, and we better be in the right spots all the time. Otherwise, we don't want to be in one of these 8-man games that are 75-52. You know, we're always in the We'd like to have 75, but we're usually 20 points or under for sure is what we're giving up on defense. But we want to keep in that area.
Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company Back to Camp series continues. As last week on the show, we got previews of all four of our Metro High School football teams. If you missed any of that, it's available at the website, 1650thefan.com. Starting this week, we are getting outside the Metro and talking Rebels football right now. Coach Olson, let's back up a little bit, though. First, you know, you telling me about how good the numbers are for your football team got me thinking, you know, what was summer workouts like? I would have to imagine if you got all those underclassmen, best case scenario is those guys are fired up. They're in the weight room. They're doing conditioning. You know, how much goes into setting those up? How much have they changed over the years? And how pleased with you with what your guys got done this summer?
You know, over the 2 or 3 years, we haven't been real great 2 or 3 years ago. But I would say since that, we started a zero-hour PE program here at Gladbrook Rhinebeck where kids lift weights at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's a PE class. And it's cross-country kids, it's volleyball girls, it's everybody, football, cheerleaders, people that aren't out for sports. They just sign up for it. They want to take the class, and they take the class. They don't have to take PE during the school day. But they still do take PE during school day, which is good, too. Since we've done that, we've had a lot more discipline, a lot better work ethic, and there's more structure in the day. And then after school or after the sporting event's over with, their basketball practice, they don't have to come to the weight room and feel like, oh, here's just another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we just really installed that in the last 2 or 3 years, and it's taken off. I was hoping to get, you know, 15, 16 kids in it in a year, and we got 85. And we only have 120 in our building. So,
wow.
I mean, that's a lot of kids that we've got out for this. And that's just, I mean, that's the kids. I mean, it's their work ethic. They give me the motivation to want to wake up in the morning and 4:30 to get my own workout done before I got to work out those kids. So it's just awesome. We have I think we have 8 or 9 supervisors that help. We've got retired people that help, other football coaches, cross-country coaches, volleyball coaches. Everybody's helping out in this program. So it's remarkable what they're doing, and I really, you know, the kids motivate me to keep going.
That's awesome to hear. And what a great program that you and your colleagues at Gladbrook Rhinebeck have set up there for anybody who wants to participate. Jumping into the defensive side of things. You've mentioned how you're a defensive coach, and you touched on the 10 seniors that you lost. And I look at the defensive side of things, Coach. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but 6 of your top 8 tacklers from last season graduated. You touched on how you're going to have to scheme things a little bit different, but how much work? I mean, is it going to be more work than usual? Maybe just on the fundamentals and the nuts and bolts of getting your tackling reps in? I mean, how much are you adjusting given, you know, all the new blood that's going to be on that side of the ball?
You know, you don't know until you know type of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think tackling is going to be extremely important. You know, you got a 140-pound linebacker. I can put him in the right spot. He can be in the right spot. He can play fast, but he's got to be able to tackle. So the thing is, as a coach, how do you get that accomplished in practice? You know, Don Bosco's got a 220-pound running back. I don't have one of those practice, you know, tackling in practice. So how am I going to get that accomplished? And we have an awesome booster club here that helps us out with some shadow mans that we purchased and a lot of different techniques. And it's, you know, I've been coaching for, I don't know, whatever, in 25, 26, 27 years. And it's just kind of back to the basics of how do I get the best out of our kids during practice to be efficient so we can make sure on Friday night, you know, that we're making the tackles when they matter. And so it's tackling, just like when they're in fifth grade. It's tackling. It's what do you got to do to get kids in the right spot so they can tackle, basically.
Flipping over to the offense, now a junior, your quarterback Isaac Clark coming off of a season where he threw for nearly 1,300 yards, added about close to 300 yards rushing. Just starting with Isaac, you know, what's next for him, and how do you look to deploy him and see him raise his game this season?
Well, he's one of those guys that we talked about. You know, we have Drew Eilers, who also played half the season last year as quarterback, too, and his stats were almost identical to Isaac Clark. I think when you put them both together as a quarterback, I don't know if it's exactly right, but it's pushing 28 touchdowns and 3 picks and, you know, 2,500 yards. And so they're both really, really good, and they're going to play. So if Isaac's on this playing quarterback, Drew's going to move somewhere else. And if Drew Eilers is a quarterback, then Isaac's going to move somewhere else. And that's something we've already talked to them, and they're all in on it. They just want to play. And I know that's cliche because everybody wants to play their favorite position, but at the same time, those kids are ready. They get along really well. They they play really good together, and so it should be exciting.
And, Coach, it's been a bit of a running joke for folks that have listened to the show at me giving you such a hard time for doing nothing but running the ball there your first couple of years. And then now all of a sudden you're like Mike Martz down there. You got the greatest show on natural grass, and you're throwing the ball all over the yard. I mean, what can you tell me? You mentioned now you're thinking you'll be able to be more balanced this year, but how can you turn your back on what's become such a dynamic passing offense you've built?
I just like to score touchdowns. So whatever that allows us to score touchdowns, if that's throwing the ball to the fast kid or handing it off to the fast kid, no matter what, we like doing that. And from a defensive coach, I know personally if you're going to pass the ball against me, I like trying to stop that because mm-hmm. I feel like it's easier than it is to try to stop the run. So I just know that overall you look at the best teams, and we aren't there yet in eight-man football. Appreciate you talking about us being a great program, and that's awesome. But as far as the winning goes, we're not quite to the top yet. Got close to Don Basco last year. Mm-hmm. Once we get there, it's probably not going to be throwing for 3,500 yards. It just probably isn't. You know, it's probably going to be throwing for 2,000 and rushing for 2,000, somewhere in that area. But at the same time, you know, no matter what, every team that wins a championship, you know, they're going to have an awesome defense. And so that's something that we always going to hang our hat on. And we're going to spend just as much time on defense as we do on offense, and we're going to go with that.
When it comes to the run game, you mentioned as many as five guys capable of being ball carriers for you this season. You go back a couple of years, you've got, if I'm not mistaken, Keegan Gieskine, who played in the Shrine Bowl, just an outstanding player with an outstanding career, who was a bell cow. Now, how different, if at all, do you execute a run game when you're looking at a multitude of ball carriers versus a bell cow who you probably know, like, here's his five favorite plays? That dynamic changes, I would imagine, quite a bit when you've got a stable of backs.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And one thing that our coaching staff, and me myself included, you know, we're not great at snapping the ball to the quarterback out of the gun, handing it off to the running back, and manipulating the defense yet. We haven't shown as a coaching staff we can pull that off in the last 2 years, and we know we can. But it's getting the kids in the right position. So when Keegan Gieskine was our quarterback, you say, we snapped the ball to him, and he just ran it down the middle. And we had all the schemes down, enough blockers to block everybody, and he was an awesome talent. Well, now we've got these players that can run east and west and north and south, and they're going to snap it to Drew a couple times, snap it to Isaac a couple times, run, you know, downhill all the time, and then also get the ball to our fast receivers that are on the outside. And, you know, there just isn't a great answer for it, but the best thing about eight-man football is you get about 16 possessions a game, so if you screw up on three or four of them, you still got a whole bunch more to go. Where 11-man, you only get about 10 possessions a game, so you don't have the opportunity to screw up.
A couple more minutes here with Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, just to kind of put a bow on all of it, when you add it all up, all three phases of the game, what you have on this roster, how would you describe what you ultimately think will be just this particular team's blueprint for a successful season?
You know, we set a lot of goals, and we don't talk about winning a whole lot at DR, but I know the kids would be extremely excited, you know, if we really can just run the ball, pass the ball, play great defense, just feel good about all those things that you talked about versus, yeah, guys, we can score, but we can't stop. So if we can feel good about all those phases of the game, and then at the end, if we can get to that 10th week, you know, our goal this year is to play 10, which means we want to try to get past that first round of the playoffs. We feel like we're a top 10 team and have been for a while, but we haven't quite got there. Now, I can give you excuses because New London was awesome and beat everybody 1,000 in one state, you know, and I can tell you the same thing about Easton Valley 2 years in a row, and yeah. Our GTRA was awesome last year. I can give you all those excuses, but there are also good reasons, too. We just got to quite get over that hump, and I don't think it's because we drop a ball and they caught the ball. I don't think it's because of an interception. I think it's because 2 or 3 years ago, we might not have got it done in the weight room. And I do feel this last year or two, we have committed to that more than we have in a while, and I feel like our confidence, our kids, we feel stronger, we are stronger, we're a little faster, a little quicker, and I think that can get us over that hump, and who knows what happens after that.
And there's something to be said, I would say, Coach Olson, to add to that, the point you're making about the commitment to the weight room and the conditioning in the summer, that there's the tangibles that come from that, the increased strength, the increased speed. There's also the intangibles. Your team camaraderie is starting to be built earlier than usual, and that can translate into real things on the field. So I think that, you know, there's a more ways than one to look at the positives that can come from that for you guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And the leadership. And like I mentioned or touched on a little bit earlier, like, I've never been a morning guy. And all of a sudden, instead of having 15 kids in the morning, you had 85 kids. Well, guess what? I became a morning guy, not because I had to, because I wanted to.
Yep.
These people, these guys, these girls, they wanted to be in there. So that makes me want to be in there more. It's not just the same routine. And so if someone doesn't show up, it's not me calling, texting, seeing a kid in the hallway. It's them saying, hey, how come you weren't there here this morning? So it's more ownership and leadership. And, you know, I just think that's all just a great part of sports, but definitely a big part of football when you've got 40 kids and, you know, big schools got 100 kids on their team and you're all part of one program or family.
Absolutely. And a lot of exciting things happening at Gladbrook-Rhinebeck High School and certainly with the football program. Coach, going to let you go. Hey, I did not see your complete schedule. Who do you guys open up against?
We play against North Iowa in Buffalo Center. We take the trip up there. It's about 2 hours and 40 minutes away.
Okay.
So we head that direction, and then we come back home and play district play against Colonesco.
Well, best of luck, best of health to your team. Always a pleasure talking Rebels football with you. We'll be following along closely, and we'll be sure to get you back on the show after the season begins, hopefully after you guys have racked up some W's, Coach.
You got it. I appreciate it. Thanks for supporting us.
Absolutely. Take care, Coach.
You bet. Thanks. Bye.
Gladbrook-Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson, kind enough to join a Monday edition of Cole & Company as we are back to camp. We continue to preview the 2022 high school football season as it draws near, building off of last week where we talked to all four Metro high school football coaches. We're going outside the Metro now and starting with a couple of great Area 8 player teams. You heard Coach Olson there telling us about Rebels football. We'll take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up on the other side. Don Bosco, high school football coach Colby Yoder, joins us. How are the Dons looking? I guess in terms of Don Bosco standards, a down season, as crazy as it may look when you look at the numbers and the win-loss, to call it that, but it's an outstanding program. So Coach Yoder joins us next on a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa will open the football season unranked in the USA Today Coaches Top 25. The Hawkeyes returned several key players from last year's team that finished 10-4 and won the Big Ten West. Alabama's top-ranked, Ohio State second. Rounding out the top five, it's Georgia, Clemson, and Notre Dame. Iowa State linebacker Orion Vance felt he still had something to offer the Cyclones. The former Cedar Rapids Washington standout decided to return for his sixth season shortly after the 2021 campaign ended. He suffered a hamstring injury in last year's opener and was hampered by injuries all season. He gives a veteran presence to a defense that lost several key players.
Man, you talk about a guy that steps into that locker room, and when he speaks, everybody listens. It's that guy. Orion Vance is the epitome in terms of great leaders that we've had in this program. He fits it.
ISU coach Matt Campbell. This is Radio Iowa.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council. To protect her home and family in a disaster, Karen was willing to wade through water, mud, and insurance paperwork.
Yeah, I can do this.
You go, Karen! By simply understanding and updating what her insurance covers and doesn't cover now, she'll be better prepared no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
What?
Who did you say did the striping?
Why?
My daughter could have made straighter lines.
Come on, it's just striping. Who will even notice?
Oh my gosh, look at their lot.
Were they sober?
I know. I should have called A-Line, but these guys were cheap. I didn't think it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Your lot can make a big difference in how your business looks. Call us today to make a better first impression.
This is the home of Cole and Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
All right, we're crunched for time, but in the final segment, some breaking Chicago Cubs news that must be addressed. But we're back in camp right now, and today it's eight-player football that we're previewing as we have stepped outside the Metro, caught up with those four head football coaches last week. Just got done talking with Gladbrook Rhinebeck coach John Olson right now. Don Bosco High School football coach Colby Yoder joins the show. Coach Yoder, how are you?
Not too bad. Just trying to get in the thick of things here and get rolling this year.
I would imagine coming off of a 6-2 season last year and came up short in the eight-player quarterfinals, lost to a really good Remsen St. Mary's team. So, Coach, let's just rip the Band-Aid off and start there. As you guys huddled up after the end of last season that I know fell short of your goals, what did you and your staff and your players take away from that 2021 season that you're applying toward this season to make it as successful as it can be?
You know, after last year, it's kind of those learning experiences for us, a lot of new faces. We had to regroup. We went 0-2 in the first time in school history since we were an eight man. So it was a kind of an eye opener for our kids, and I thought they rebounded really well. And we're just taking it in stride this year, and we're still going to try and get better every week. And you know, we saw some good things in camp. You know, I think up front's probably our nucleus this year. We got almost our whole line of scrimmage back, and we'll have some new skilled guys. But I think we've been just concentrating on the X's and O's of football and trying to learn blocking and tackling. That's the name of the game. So that's where we're at right now, and we're trying to make it fun and trying to get understand the concepts of football right now. So
yeah,
that's about where we're at right now.
And you got some great weather this week, so hopefully you can get some really good work in. Before we talk a little bit more about camp, let's back up, Coach Yoder. You mentioned that you've got everybody back in the trenches. That, to me, speaks to if your Dons were in the weight room, if they were conditioning this summer, you guys got to feel good about that. So tell us, how do you think summer lifting, summer conditioning went?
You know, I think it went pretty well. A lot of these guys are multi-sport athletes, so, I mean, we don't get our hands on them a lot until we come to camp. So, you know, we got the two Terry brothers at Emerson Hahn. We got Ty Purdy, Miles McMahon. We've got a good nucleus of seniors up front. I mean, so Mac Ortner's a guy that really came along last year for us. I'm looking for really big things out of Mac this year. He's a guy that really put his time in the off season, getting bigger and stronger, and worked on a lot of footwork. So, you know, I think that's our nucleus up front, and just got to kind of groom our skilled guys along as we go. And only counts at the end. So we're really trying to groom our guys. You know, last year we had a rough start, and, you know, these guys just kept persevering, and by the end of the year we were right in the mix again, and that's kind of where we hope to be. And we're going to take the same approach that we did last year and just keep learning, so try to get better every week.
Don Bosco, high school football coach Colby Yoder, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Coach, beyond the fundamentals, I mean, anybody who's played high school football, follows the sport, knows that you get into preseason camp and a very large portion of camp is getting back to those fundamentals, like you mentioned, the blocking and the tackling. But, you know, we're a couple weeks away from kicking off this season. So when you get into the latter portion of camp, what do you and your staff typically do as you move away from coaching, drilling the fundamentals? And how much might that other portion of camp change year to year based off of what you have as a team?
You know, we do a lot of scheming, and I know a lot of coaches, probably Coach Olson probably talks about every team, you got to be ready for certain different circumstances and schemes that they're going to run at you. We're gonna work on what works best for us and try and find ways to take advantage of their weaknesses or what we think are weaknesses. And they're gonna do the same to us. I mean, we play a tough Eastern Valley team out the chute, so we're gonna have to be really ready to go week one. And I mean, I'm looking forward to the challenge to see where we're at for sure. We don't change preparation a lot. We prepare every week the same, other than the different schemes we put out there and blocking schemes and the fronts we throw at guys. So, you know, the last week of practice here coming up before we play Easton, we'll start, you know, drilling their plays and trying to figure out what's going to work for us and what's not going to work for us, those type of deals. And I think the big key for us is conditioning. I think last year, week one, we got outplayed. There's no doubt about it. And they were the better team that night for sure. But I think a lot of our shape hurt us bad, and I'm not going to let that happen again. I'll take the blame for that. And I just think we got to be ready. And I think these guys will be ready for the challenge. It's going to be a tough challenge, but I think it'll be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, you got to run back that schedule, just flipping, you know, who's the home and away. So Easton Valley, Turkey Valley, once again at the start of that schedule for you. And, Coach, I get the impression from what you're saying that you don't intend on throwing a screwball and coming out and throwing it 60 times against those guys. Or maybe you will, and maybe you're just holding your cards close to your vest.
I think with Ty Purdy, we can do a few different things. I mean, he showed last year he could throw the ball pretty well. We didn't utilize Ty till later in the year. So we got to figure some things out ourselves as coaches. We've been mixing and matching a few things, and I'm hoping we maybe open up the playbook a little bit. But you know, we're still a pretty run hungry team, but especially with the guys we got up front. But we're gonna see what happens. Hopefully, we can surprise some teams for sure.
I haven't given up on you, Coach Yoder, because me and Coach Olson, I teased him for 2 years about running the ball so much when he had Keegan Gieskin. And then I told him when he was on earlier, I said, you got the greatest show on natural grass now in Eastern Iowa. They were throwing the ball all over hell last season.
Oh, yes, they were. They were fun to watch. I mean, they're hard to prepare for. He does a great job getting his kids ready. So he's a lot of fun to work with, too.
Breaking news, Don Bosco going to throw the ball everywhere this season. You heard it here first. Coach, defensively, you talked about Ty a little bit and Miles and some of your ball carriers on offense, but defensively you mentioned how you like to scheme it up and throw some different fronts, but who are you looking to be leaders on that defense, and ultimately what do you think will create the best version of this season's Don's defense?
You know, we got a few guys back on defensive with Jared and Jacob Thierry. Defensive line-wise, you're going to see a few new faces too. I mean, Emerson Hahn's going to be in there. Mac's going to play. Mac didn't play a lot of defense last year. So you're going to see Emerson Hahn and Mac probably showcase some of their skills. And then, you know, Miles McMahon's back. He's an all-district player for us. Miles, the guy that's probably going to step in and do some stuff is Kyler Kanak and Caden Kanak, the two brothers. They're two guys that are real good little wrestlers for us, and they've been waiting to get themselves in the lineup here tonight. You know, they're both a little bit bigger. Tyler with 26 pounders, up to about 160 now. So he's filled into his body a little bit. He's going to be a guy that on defense is going to come through for us, and Landon Fernandez. They're kind of the nucleus for us and trying to work around those guys. And Dawson Youngblood's another guy that's going to be in the mix.
Coach Yoder, always a pleasure to learn about your team. And eight player just seems like it continues to get tougher and tougher, and the quality of teams just seems to continue to rise.
It really does. I mean, every year you're scheming, you're seeing a lot of different things. I mean, I think about 10 years ago where we kind of, I mean, when we first started, there weren't many quarterbacks running the ball, and it seems like 90% of the kids are running the ball, or they're opening up and throwing all over now. And you're seeing a lot more talented kids and a lot of more teams dropping to 8 men. You're finding out it's a pretty fun game, you know. So it's an up-and-up thing. I think 8-man football is a lot of fun to watch, and I think a lot of people enjoy watching it.
And your team's certainly one of them. Best of luck, best of health, Coach. A lot of fun, as always, to catch up with you, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show after your guys have racked up some W's this season.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you having us.
All right. Don Bosco, football coach, Colby Yoder, kind enough to join us on a Monday edition of Cole and Company. All right, we got to take this last time out. When we come back, though, big Chicago Cubs news, and it's even got David over here smiling, too, so that's a little hint for you. We'll come back, wrap up a Monday edition of the show right after this.
I'm Kayla Burton with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. As they await word on Deshaun Watson's fate, the Browns may now have some running back concerns, too. NFL Network's James Palmer reports Kareem Hunt has asked to leave Cleveland for a trade as he heads into the final year of his rookie contract. Palmer says the team has denied that request so far. Hunt was a full participant at practice Sunday after sitting out of team drills the previous few days. There's also no trade coming for Raiders starting back Josh Jacobs. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports that despite a surprisingly heavy workload in Thursday's preseason opener, the Pro Bowler is not on the market. And you'll soon get to see how Daniel Jones looks in Brian Daboll's offense. The new Giants head coach says he expects to play his starters in the team's preseason opener Thursday night against the Patriots, a game you can watch on NFL Network starting at 7 Eastern. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Opportunities are all around us, but sometimes they're hard to see. Sometimes you have to stop and take a closer look, because the right time could be right now. So this is for the dreamers, the entrepreneurs, and the go-getters, ready to take a chance and bet on themselves. And when you see your opportunity come along, we're ready to help you go after it. Because no matter how big you dare to dream, First Bank will be the first to serve you. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
My name is Anna. I live in Cedar Falls. I was in a severe car accident. The driver did not have car insurance. I was actually severely injured. I had a lot of hospital bills that needed to be paid. I was a single mom. I called Balkirkin Home. Eshan came and saw me while I was actually in the hospital. He explained everything thoroughly and how we were gonna get compensated. Eshan really seemed like he genuinely cared about me and not just getting compensation for himself.
When a car or motorcycle accident injures you or your loved ones, you need a strong team of attorneys to protect your rights. Balkirkin Home has been in the Cedar Valley since 1958. Balkirkin Home are your local injury attorneys providing personalized representation at the highest level. For a free consultation, visit balkirkhome.com.
I would highly recommend Balkirkin Home.
Balkirkin Home, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I am very, very grateful.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. The LA Rams are the league's most aggressive team. The franchise hasn't had a first-round pick since 2016, and the team is paying top dollar for players like Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, and Cooper Kupp. LA's aggressive approach paid off last season, but the strategy involves a lot of risk, and that's starting to become clear this offseason. When you sell the farm for elite starters, you inevitably have to sacrifice depth. Signing massive contracts limits your ability to maneuver your way under the cap, and trading high draft picks constricts the team's ability to get talent at a cheap price. Last year, that wasn't an issue for the Rams, but with QB Matthew Stafford battling an elbow injury, there may be reason to be concerned at LA. Due to the team's obsession over star power, the Rams don't have a lot of depth behind that starting lineup, and with Stafford now nursing a concerning elbow injury, the Rams' aggressive approach may come back to bite them to start the year. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. GetRefunds.com. All right, remember that. If you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride. Pandemic, inflation, there's a lot of stuff going on. If your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. So it's not a loan. There's no payback. It's a refund of your taxes. You got to cut through red tape, get your business the refund money, and you do it by going to GetRefunds.com. They do all the work. There's no charge up front. They simply share a percentage of the cash that they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those who had increases in sales. The team at GetRefunds.com has already returned over $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you as well. Go to GetRefunds.com. You click on the Qualify Me, answer a couple of questions, and it's available only for a limited amount of time. Don't miss out. Go to GetRefunds.com. No risk, high reward. GetRefunds.com. Good luck.
Bust it. It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Colbert on 1650 The Fan.
All right, welcome back for a final time. Got to thank Gladbrook Rhinebeck High School football coach John Olson, Don Bosco football coach Colby Yoder. If you missed it, podcast will be available soon at 1650thefan.com. David Warrington alongside today. The Cubs are moving on from Jason Hayward. One and a half, two years as a Cardinal for Jay Hay? How long was he there?
Somewhere like that. And not
played,
too long.
Played probably his best stretch of baseball,
yeah,
other than maybe his first 2 years with the Cardinals.
Yeah, he played very well.
Enough to get him that big contract,
yeah,
that the Cubs are still going to pay for another year, but a lot of Cubs fans breathing a sigh of relief. Hayward, gonzo.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.